So talking about discipleship, we're going to move right into a real short but special moment with three guys. They're going to talk about how discipleship can change lives. Okay, whoever wants to go first is fine. So you guys just go for it, and they all got a, I know they have multiple stories, but I said at least share one where you have, through discipleship, you've seen a person's life change.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, it's an honor to be here, guys. My name is George Hernandez. Well, we're all a product of discipleship, if you're a follower of Jesus. There's been a person who has been intentional, relationally, to connect with you, to pour into you, to check on you, to pray for you, to hold you accountable. And we just replicate that. We duplicate that. And, yeah, I've had the honor to work with students. I'm going on 7 years with FCA, Fellowship Christian Athletes. Also work for a local church, Walk Church, in Las Vegas. Ironically, we're all walking, or some of us pushing. But yeah, just, I mean, so many stories. Just one recently, his name is Caden Castelleros. He won a state championship his sophomore year. FCA was not in his high school. He goes to Liberty High School. He's a senior this year. Last year, they went to state. But last year, he was empty. They didn't win. He ended up going to camp, FCA camp, where the Holy Spirit sniped him. And the Lord grabbed a hold of him and saved him. And he found out that he's actually created for more than the game of basketball. That he's first a child of God, accepted by Christ. And really, basketball is just a gift that he has. And so I've had the privilege to just walk with him. And so not only him, but two other students that are his teammates. And we're just walking through the book of John. We read the book of John. We went verse by verse, and we would do W maps. I don't know if you guys know, or SOAP, right? We want to meditate in on the word. We also want to apply the word. And we want to pray the word over us. And so we would just send daily devotionals, W maps, to each other. And that's a form that I've just witnessed God really doing what he does best, is to speak to us through his word. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit is teaching this young man, because we are opening his word on a daily. And so it's amazing, it's encouraging that he's growing, that the Holy Spirit is teaching him, speaking to him, and he's applying the word. He's growing. This is his senior year. Brother Dan met him last week, and just an intentional moment, guys. I mean, lunches, intentional moments of confessing sin, but most importantly, being intentional and opening, like my brother just said, this amazing book. Amen. Together. And he'll do the rest. Just seeds of the gospel, watering, he gives the increase. So, yeah.
So, yeah, George and I are both in the platform of athletics. A lot of you guys, I've known you for a long time. I was in the cleaning business for 26 years, but my staff was all women. So when I came to ministry in the marketplace, when I came to faith at one of these retreats, it was just hard because my marketplace was literally all women. So quickly turned to the platform of athletics for me as a coach, and just obviously started applying the principles. It's amazing to look around. I've been talking with Jonathan Kaler. We got to hike today, and I was just saying, it's amazing that in this room, as I've just looked around the room, got to speak with most of the guys, There's 15, 20 guys in this room that have impacted my life, that have poured into my life. It's amazing. Like, it's hard. I came to faith 22, 23 years ago, and it's hard to look back. Now, I turned 50 this year, and to think how far God has taken me and the answer of prayer of bringing godly men in my life to mentor me, to everyone with different gifts, everyone with different styles. Jonathan and I were laughing just with all the, I love these Bible studies with all these different men because all the styles are so different, yet they're all so impactful. So it's just, it's such a huge blessing, discipleship. So I want to thank all the brothers who have invested into my life. And I have just kind of a, so I'm, I also, while I was in my vocational business, I was using the platform of coaching. And this year I went full-time ministry with FCA as well. And what's really interesting was before I did that, there was a plumber who, 2008, that came to work on a house that I was building, a spec home to try to get out of the house and meet some guys and, you know, meet guys in the marketplace. And so across the street, I built this house and this plumber came and we started talking about faith and had some good conversations. And I was pretty jazzed back in 08. I was probably 6 years into the faith. So I was had a very evangelistic nature. And what was amazing is we lost sight, the collapse of the economy. We lost everything we put into that house. It set us back. And I'm just thinking, gosh, I got really nothing out of this but a lesson of thanking God for taking your resources from you when you were, kind of expecting a positive result. And so it was a huge area of growth for me. A lot of you guys walked through that with me. It was a very difficult time for me. 1 year ago, I call this guy up and I go, hey, bro, my pool heater is pouring water and my water bills are $500 and I just found the leak. I can't get anyone out here. Do you think you could come and just change some PVC for me? And so Bobby comes out, and we just start talking out there. He's like, hey, I'm like, thank you so much, what I owe. He goes, dude, you don't owe me anything, thank you. And we're talking in the front, and all of a sudden I say, how are you doing with your faith walk? And so we kind of picked up where we left off 10, 12 years earlier. And it's amazing. We sat in my driveway for 2.5 hours, and it just so happens now that he is now coaching his sons. He had never coached before. He has twin sons that are Rowan and Grayson's age, if you've seen my two little guys running around. So he came out and coached with us. David has had the opportunity to coach his son, Dominic. Dominic is a fine young man. He's one of four young guys from our high school program that I've invited to do some small group discipleship and accountability, who's excited about doing that. And Bobby is growing, taking off like a rocket ship in his faith. I mean, David knows. I mean, he's been coming to our coach's Bible study, and it's just he's a broken, thankful man. And it's 10 years later, right? Like out of the blue, here he is, he's on the scene. And one of the things I always heard all the guys that have mentored me say is just be available. Just be available and just be ready. And so Bobby's been a great example of that. Super excited for him. Super excited for his son Dominic and his younger sons because, I do a little huddle at lunch with the middle school boys, and then I do a high school huddle with high school athletes at the current school I'm at. And those little boys, those little painter boys, when you start talking about questions, they have Bible answers. It's they're little twins. It's the greatest thing. And so, to see Bobby go from here to here spiritually, and to see how excited he is about growing in his faith and the changes he's made in his life and his marriage, it's huge. So from the coach's perspective, that is amazing. And to George's point, just on the young people, and Jonathan and I talked about this a lot, and also John Hartshorn over dinner, these young people and all people, I'm so convinced. I used to think, how do we get to people? Everyone's so easily offended these days, right? It's like I'm always thinking, how do I be careful to approach individuals the right way? It's the Socratic method of asking them simple questions about God, about life, about purpose, and just giving them Bible verses. I mean, it literally, it's hard for me to say this because they just want truth. Literally, they just want to hear the truth. And so I'm going into these group meetings with different athletes from different schools thinking, okay, maybe if I'm lucky, one kid will want to get together, which is fine. I'm not a numbers guy. It's like, hey, if you get one guy, we always talk about just pray for one guy. But you're having the same thing. I saw your newsletter. I mean, these kids are just coming. The harder the truth, the more kids show up because they know what's being fed to them. As Jerry talked about earlier, it's a lie. And then as Bill talked about, hell is real. They all have a sense that there's an afterlife, there is a God. They just don't know who he is. and they don't know how to get to them. So anyway, very encouraged, and I just encourage you guys, like you hear it all the time, just pray for one man. If you're not discipling someone, just pray for one man and just be faithful with him and meet with him. And if you're not sure what to do, grab the Ministry in the Marketplace books and start there at the foundation. Get them into a 3-point stance in the faith and just start walking them through the foundations, and God will do the rest. Just meet with them. So really encouraging, guys. So
not sure if this is what you're after, but so I'm not full time coaching, or I still have a day job, but I'm in my 7th or 8th year coaching football. Just a quick story about 6 or 7 seasons ago, my oldest son was in 7th grade. We're in Idaho, and I was a position coach, middle school football, secular, you know, Pop Warner sort of thing. And over the course of a season, a dispute had broke out between the head coach and the defensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator's son was the best player on the team. He was a quarterback, he was a linebacker, the kid's the stud. And the dispute was essentially the head coach thought, hey, this is 13-year-old boys football, and the objective is everybody should play, they should have fun, they should learn fundamentals, they should want to come out next year. That was not the objective of the defensive coordinator. It was win football games. If that means kids don't play, so be it. Promote my son. And so there was this conflict over the course of the season. And towards the end of the season, it was so bad, we almost didn't finish the season. I mean, there was such a divide between the coaching staff. And somewhere towards the end of the season, I remember where I was. I was on the phone driving. I remember parking, pulling over, talking. The head coach asked me, and he said, how have you been able – these are all non-believers, right? Actually, the defensive coordinator is a Mormon guy. And he said, how have you been able to avoid sort of this conflict, and what is your position? Where do you come down on this? And by God's grace and just counsel from these guys, my answer was, it doesn't really matter to me. Now, I said, I'm out here because my son's on the football team, and I see this as an opportunity. I told him, we're followers of Jesus Christ of the Bible, and I see this as an opportunity to disciple my son. A lot of stuff happens over the course of a football season. Good, bad, wins, losses, injuries, all sorts of stuff. And it's all an opportunity to help my son think biblically about the things that happen. And football season is a long season. Maybe basketball, I don't know, football season is a long, hot drag. And the guy was really taken back. And I said, that's why I coach football, is because it's an opportunity to walk through these things with my son, sort of in a controlled environment. That was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. Now we now live in Tucson, and I coach at a school that Andy introduced me to. My kids are homeschooled, but they play sports at a Christian school nearby, a private Christian school. And I've coached, I guess this is my, I just finished my 5th season there. I've coached football mostly, but a little bit of track. And just to kind of fast forward to tell you how this has progressed, then now I'm a head coach, which is kind of against my will, but it's probably his fault. But yeah, it is kind of Andy's fault. When I moved to when I moved to Tucson, I really just wanted to be an assistant coach, and Andy said, "No, you need to be the head coach because that's how you can cast a vision, and you can affect the culture." But fast forward to this year, now I have 3 boys. One was played for Andy at middle school. One was on varsity. One's JV. I coached the JV, and probably 9 months ago, the varsity coach came to me, and there was a vacancy on the JV team. And they said, "Hey, we really need somebody to take this job." And I said, I don't, it's more time. I can't. I have a job." But I would have a son on that team. I said, "I would just like to stay with the middle school. It's a lot more casual." But I did it. I talked to Andy. I think I talked to Dan. My wife surprisingly said, "No, you should take that job." So I met they had already hired the coaches, though. The offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and there was one other guy. They had already hired that staff. And I got to meet those guys. Again, it's a Christian school, so most of the guys, not all, surprisingly, but most of the guys profess Christ. So I met with the guys individually, as is my habit, if it's an assistant coach, ask them, "Who is Christ to you?" And who is Christ to you? And I sat with these three guys, and I walked away, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I made a mistake. I'm not even convinced these guys have a relationship with Christ. What have I got myself into? And I think I was upset for a couple weeks. And then, as is the sort of the habit in my house, my wife said something smart. She said, well, why don't you bring on some other coaches, some more like-minded coaches? So I went to the athletic director and asked her, can I bring on some other guys? She said, well, you've already got four or five. You know, you don't need any more coaches. But nevertheless, she the other guys agreed to take no money. That helped. So I was able to bring on three other like-minded brothers. And by like-minded, I mean I had coached with these guys before, and they viewed football and this time with the kids as ministry. I mean, we have such a captive audience with these kids. We spend, no kid, I'm not exaggerating, during the fall, they spend more time with me than they do their dad, which is sometimes not saying much, but for sure they spend more time with us. We just have this captive audience. So I kind of bring that up just to, when I started at Push Ridge and talking with Andy, I said, I'm going to get involved with these dads, right? I'm going to meet these dads. It's this Christian school. We have had basically zero traction with dads. And Jerry, I think you told me before, you said those guys they don't think they need anything. You're probably not going to get traction with them. But I have got traction with guys that have come along and been willing to coach with me. And again, now you're in the trenches with them. So just a quick sort of success story this season. Christian school, okay? So at the end of each game, we invite the other team to come to center field with us, or midfield, and if they want, they pray with us, right? Take a knee, win or lose, sometimes we lose. Frankly, we don't want to pray with them, but we invite them to pray with us. It was the last game of the season, and we were playing a public school team, okay? And we've had public school teams tell us that, you know, it's not something they're allowed to do. But this team agreed. The coach agreed. We had won. Oftentimes when you lose, you're just in a bad mood, right? You know, but they agreed to come pray with us. And the rule is, when we pray, if it's me or one of the other coaches, the rule is we're going to very clearly share the gospel. We're going to very clearly share the gospel. And so I didn't pray that week, but one of the coaches did, Coach Green, and he shared the gospel. Again, it's our last game of the season. Afterwards, we shake their hands, and they go their way to the other side. We go our way, and we're happy. We take a picture. We're hugging the boys. We're not going to see them again. And Coach Green and I are walking off the field. And, I mean, literally our last step on the field this season, and this boy comes up to us, this player from the other team, Robert was his name. I don't know how far. They live a couple hours away, Stafford. They live a couple hours away, and he comes up to us, and he says, hey, Coach, this is what he said. I was really moved by your prayer, and I would like to know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. How would I get to know Jesus? He asked us. And so we're kind of celebrating. We're walking off, I think, with our arm around each other. And he's already dressed, you know, back in his street clothes. No exaggeration. I can see his bus. His coaches are yelling, Robert, come on. Like, they got a two-hour road trip, right? And he's right there on the field with us, and he says, and we said, you know, let's talk. And he prays right there on the field to receive Jesus as Savior. That was literally the end of our season.
Yeah.
And I think, what a finish, right? We had multiple stories. Like, that was the only one where we had one of the opponents, but it was just special. And I think, hopefully, God willing, Andy's going to connect with that kid and maybe get an FCA plant down there. So, anyways.
Just real quick. The reason I want to bring these guys up is George was an athlete, and then most of you know he was in a car explosion, and he was literally on fire. A car blew up that he was in, and you can hear his testimony from a couple years back on the media page on our website, and he will tell you that was the best thing that ever happened to him. Because he gave him his life. And now what he's doing, he's poured his life used that platform to pour his life into these kids. We got Andy, who owned a cleaning company, was always involved in athletics, always involved in football, while you had the cleaning company, and volleyball, and tennis. Yeah, tennis. And so he's pouring into these kids using his company just as the vehicle to share Christ. And David's a financial planner, and you just heard his story. Okay? And just he just uses his company as a vehicle to do what he just shared with you. So these two guys are now all in with FCA, and they're in the trenches. You heard what they're saying. I have seen the results. I mean, kids are coming to Christ. So just pray about it. They're not going to tell you this, but pray about it. Pray about coming alongside these two guys over here. Not David. He doesn't need anything. but these two guys right there. So anyway, guys, thanks for coming up and sharing a few things.